please, let's have a seat.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everyone to this morning service. Can we rise up on our feet and go round and say, I welcome you to the presence of God. Go around and shake seven people and tell them, I welcome you to the presence of God this morning. You are welcome in God to God's presence this morning. You are welcome to God's presence this morning, guys. Praise the Lord. Let's have our seats in God's presence. I want us to do one more thing. Just one more thing. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 17. Jeremiah 31, verse 17. If you are there, I'll read very quickly. And there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Amen. So I want you to jump up and go to another seven people and tell them that there is an hope in my own end. That my future is bright because I have a living hope. Go around and say it confidently. Tell them that I have a hope. I have a hope to excel. I have a hope to prosper. I have a hope. I have a hope. Amen. You know, we were taught when you speak as we grew up, that when you want to talk, you talk in a sophisticated manner. You don't open all your mouth to talk. you try and make it look as much as possible. But I want you to go around and not be sophisticated. And open your mouthful and tell the person you are talking to that I have a hope. My future is bright. I have a living hope. Stand up on your feet and shake one more person and tell the person that I have a hope. I have a hope. Praise the Lord. This morning, I just want to talk to us about a topic that is most of the time overlooked, but I think it is important and crucial in our walk with God. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about our hope in Christ. Our hope in Christ. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. It's a very common verse of the Bible. I'll read verse 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Let us pray. Our Most High Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, even as we have come before you, Lord, we pray that you will illuminate our hearts afresh in the name of Jesus. Lord, everything that we need to know to run a good race, everything that has been hidden from us, everywhere where we have been blindsided, Lord, we pray this morning that you will reveal to us the things that we need to know to run a good race in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank and we honor you. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So most often we've talked about faith, having faith in God. Without faith, we cannot please God. But before we get to the point of faith, there is something that is very important that is always missing. And what we have missed most of the time, or if not all of the time, is the factor of hope. Hope is the substance that faith acts on. Praise the Lord. If you see someone that is hopeless, most likely the person will be in line to commit suicide. So a hopeless person cannot exercise faith in any way. So for us to please God with our faith, we must have hope. And that is what I want to dwell on this morning. And verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained the good report. Which means every good thing that happens to us, everything that can be regarded as a good report, which is every good thing, every breakthrough, every promotion that you get, every good news that you get, is as a result of faith. Praise the Lord. But faith cannot come if there is no hope. And the Bible says, and I just want to add this, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So the word of God stimulates faith, hope in us, and then we can act on the hope that we have by faith and get a good report. Praise the Lord. And I will run through three things that we need to look at. So why is it important? Why is hope important? Why should our hearts be hopeful? Why should our hearts be hopeful? So the definition of hope is the feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. And I don't want us to confuse that with faith. So hope is an expectation. And in the 15th century English, it is interpreted as trust in a thing. Hope is trust, which means before your faith can be applied on anything, there must be a level of trust in the being or the person that you are using your faith to apply to get what you want. Praise the Lord. So the first reason why we need hope is faith hinges on hope. Without hope, our faith is useless. Praise the Lord. Without hope, our faith is useless. So when Jesus was talking about if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, invariably Jesus was saying that if you still believe, if you have hope, that no matter how bad the situation is, I still believe that because my Redeemer liveth, something good can still come out of this situation. It is based on that trust that your faith would act. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was in school, I was in graduate school in the U.S. And so that was my first semester. I went to the graduate advisor. In those days, I didn't know how the system works. So I ran to the graduate advisor and I said, the research I'm doing, I have this problem. You know, that was the first time in engineering that I would see that they can prescribe, like doctors prescribe medicine. The professor listened to me. I told him all the problems I had, and I was expecting him to guide me and tell me, okay, this is what you should do go and do this, let's do this. And he said, okay, I've heard you. And he brought out a sheet of paper and he wrote about 5 courses. I should go to physics, go to chemistry. I felt like the ground should open and just swallow me up. Because at PhD level, even when I was in high school, physics, chemistry, of course, I still can remember how many sleepless nights I had. When I left his office, I was dazed. I couldn't see very well. And then the first lecture that we had in maths, you know, they purposely put it for the evening so that after the class, you just go to bed. So we went to the class. There were about 6 of us from my department. We got there, and everything the man talked about for the 3 hours, I was talking to myself that, how did you get to this point? What are you doing here? Because I'm not sure if I was in a mathematics class or I was in an astronomy class. The man was talking about how they will use mathematics, you know, the lasers that was used to manufacture. So it was just too complex for me. And then we go back to the department. All of us that went from my department, none of us spoke to each other till we got to the, because everybody was rethinking, so what is the next step? So we got to the department, we met the graduate advisor, and I was the last in line because I wanted to listen to the reasons all the others would give. So the 5 people, the first 5, fortunately they had a good reason. They were graduating and, you know, if I fail this course, it will hold me down. Then, okay, you can drop it. Then there was a Chinese guy in front of me, a very good friend of mine. And when he got to the graduate advisor, he told the graduate advisor, I was expecting him to say the same thing. So the man said, so what is the problem? He said, it is too simple. I was standing behind him, and this guy said, it is too simple. Then the man said, okay, so what do you want to do? Oh, he said, oh, I've seen one, Mathematics of Turbulence. I said, oh my God. And when it got to my turn, I didn't know what to say because somebody just told the man that it is too simple. So he said, what is your problem? I said, I don't have a problem. But I had a hope that if other people in that class will make it, I will make it. So I went back, and that was when we had my first son. You know, the only thing I could remember was that they broke the news. So, okay, all right, congrats, that's good. And I kept reading. And at the end of the class, you know, as we went through the semester, my hope increased from just a tiny bit. Because right from the day that I left the office of the graduate advisor, you know, something in me kept telling me that you can do this. And I got the best result in that class. Praise the Lord. So, hope is a very powerful thing. It is a very powerful thing. When we lose hope, we lose it all. A hopeless man has lost everything. So when you see people get to the point where they say, oh, it is not possible, oh, I want to go and commit suicide, it's because they don't see any way ahead of them anymore. But because you are in Christ, there is always a way out. There is always an option. Even when all the roads are closed, there is always an option. Because he has told us that he will make a way where there seems to be no way. So there is always an option. So that is the first thing. That is the first reason why we need to keep our hope alive. The second reason is that as a Christian, we must always, if you profess to have known God, to have a relationship with Jesus, it is impossible for you to be hopeless. If you come in here and you say, I'm hopeless, I don't know what to do, then that means you've not had an encounter with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:27 talks about Christ being the hope of glory. So It is very important to us that no matter what it is, as a Christian, we must have hope. Praise the Lord. Now, some of the things and some of the reasons why it is difficult for us to sustain, you know, we have in any little form of hope is because of the things around us, the environment around us, the things that we are seeing. You can imagine coming into a country like Canada and you want to write an exam. And one of the reports you keep getting is everybody is failing. The report you get, you talk to the first person, you talk to the third person, the news seems to be aligning in the same direction. By logic, you know, by simple mathematics, you know that if 4 or 5 people have failed, you know, you can start calculating your chances using some probability. But I want to tell you today that what people say should not affect the hope that you have in God. Your hope is not a function of the experiences of other people. Praise the Lord. The hope that you should have in God is not a function of the experiences of other people. When I got into this country, all the people that I knew, they have lined up restaurant jobs for me. Oh, you know, once we come in, this is, you have to go and work in a Chinese restaurant and do this and do that. And I said, I really don't know how to do this, but I know that one way or the other, God will help me. You know, I got into this country, I drove myself into this country December 19th, 2007. January 11th, a man came to my door, knocked on the door and said, a friend referred you. This is a very powerful man here in Calgary. He has his own company. And he told me I wanted to come and work for me. That was how I got a job. Praise the Lord. So your story does not have to align with the story of others. If you have hope, no matter how little it is, your story will be different. Praise the Lord. You don't need to be hopeless. You know, people that have lost hope, that I've decided I've gotten to the brink of committing suicide, the difference between you and them is the fact that the way they see the situation is different from the way you see the situation. They see the situation as this is the end, and there is nothing more that can change, there is nothing more that can happen. But you see the situation that as long as there is a God that lives in the heavens that can turn stones to bread, then there is a hope for me. Praise the Lord. So there is a distinct difference. So when people come with all form of reports, your case is different. And let me tell you this. Even after, you know, you've gone through whatever thing you go through, hope needs to be sustained. You know, it's not that you wake up one morning and you say, this thing is going to happen. I believe it will happen. And then by the time you are going to bed, your hope has collapsed. And then you have to wind it up in the morning again. Sustain your hope through the word of God. Praise the Lord. And I want us to just look at the book of Genesis. I want us to look at the book of Genesis and the story of Abraham. You know, because the Bible says that he hoped against hope. That Abraham hoped against hope, which means when there was no reason to even have a hope, Abraham still had a hope. You understand what that is? There was no reason to... Listen, there are some medical doctors amongst us here. Of course, we know Sarah cannot have a child anymore. To complicate the issue, the sperm count of Abraham was already 0. He can't bring forth any child. So it wasn't only Sarah, but even Abraham himself. And that was why Sarah said, the pleasure that Sarah was talking about was not the pleasure that we think about. But there is nothing in Abraham that can bring forth a child anymore. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says that he hoped against hope. Which means everything logical around him points to the fact that this cannot happen. But he kept telling himself that I know with the tiniest bit of hope that this can still happen. Praise the Lord. So whatever situation you have found yourself today, no matter what you are going through, in your place of work, you have just come in into this country, and it seems everything, nothing seems to be working. I want to tell you this morning that things will work for you. If things can work for somebody like me, it will work for you. I'll tell you another story. When we first came in here, you know, one of the reasons why we moved was my wife didn't like US at all. So we came in here. I was still doing my professor job in the US. And when I came in, I was complaining about everything from the weather, that was the biggest complaint that I had, to the people, to the roads, to the buildings. If everywhere I looked, 10 complaints would jump out of my mouth. And my wife was tired. So what are we going to do at this point? And I went to Walmart, late January 2008. And my wife went in and I said, you are the one that wants to live in Canada, so go and get whatever we want to get. I'll be sitting down here. So I sat down in the car. But before she left, I dropped her off in front of Walmart. Then I went to look for a parking. So I had to come out of the car in the cold once in a while to look around because she doesn't know where I was parked. So I stood there. And then I saw a very old man walk towards me. And I wasn't interested in what he was saying. So he said, because the plate number of the car that I was driving was still a US plate. So he said, you came from the US. So I looked at him and I said, yes. And I was looking at what I was looking at. And then he kept talking. I worked in California. You know, I've been all over the place. They know me everywhere. And I looked at him, what is my problem with all the things this man is talking about? And I kept looking. And then he said something that caught my attention. And then he said, don't go anywhere, stay here. Because I will walk with you here. You know, I looked at him. It didn't, you know, all my mental calculation was still. And then I kept looking at the Walmart door. And after about 40 seconds, I turned. I didn't see anyone. I looked all around me. The pace with which the man walked towards me, I know in 40 seconds, it would still be very close. But I didn't see anyone. And it dawned on me that God was trying to tell me something. Because at that time, any little thing that had happened in this country, either to me, to my wife, or to my family, because I had extinguished any hope that anything good could happen to me here. But that experience resuscitated the hope that I should have had. Praise God. So I want to tell you today that your coming here is not a mistake. Your being here has been preordained. And the God that brought you here will sustain you. You might be struggling with one thing or the other, getting a job. You might be struggling with passing an exam. You might be struggling with settling down. There might be so many other issues. But I want to tell you, it is a very small thing in the hands of the God that will live. Praise the Lord. I'll go to the third thing very quickly. Our having hope helps us against depressive thoughts. Our having hope helps us against depressive thoughts. Every day that we wake up, you know, the psychologists have said that in a whole day, more than a million thoughts runs through the mind of a human. More than a million thoughts. Of course, 80% of those thoughts We are not cognizant of it. We don't even, it comes in a flash and is gone. So in a day, there are so many thoughts that comes through our mind. And the thoughts that we entertain, the thoughts that we allow to germinate in our hearts, forms the decision that we make. Praise the Lord. So if we keep telling ourselves, I'm not good enough, I can't make it, and all the things coming, going through your system keep saying that you're not good enough, you can't make it, you're not good enough, you can't make it, you'll get to a point, it's just a matter of time, you'll get to a point where you don't see anything good in yourself, you don't see anything good in the system, and, you know, God forbid, you might not be pushed to the point that you want to give, you know, just give up on everything. But you find out that you'll be chasing what you should not be chasing. So when there is no hope, because of the thoughts that comes through our hearts and our minds, you will position yourself where you should not be. Praise the Lord. If God has planted you in a place because you have extinguished the hope that you should have, you would relocate yourself to where God is not. Praise the Lord. So now, a lot of the times, and I think I mentioned this earlier, the problem that we have around us, it is not us. You don't have a problem. I can tell you that with the whole of my heart. You don't have a problem. But the people around us and the system around us is what makes you feel that there is a problem. Praise the Lord. And I will explain. Now, you go out, you are looking for a job, and the first two interviews you happen to have, you went in, you did it, you thought you did well, and maybe you had a way of getting the feedback. And the feedback they gave you was, you know, the way you dressed like a mechanic and you're coming to come and do an interview for an accounting position, or the way you tilted your head, or the way you were looking, or the things you said. You know, it is all about the perception of people. And then it gets into you, and then you start feeling that you are not adequate. And then you start thinking, you know, because once it has happened once, twice, the third time, and that is where most people break down. You know, I'm not good enough. I've done this thing three times. I don't know. There's nothing else I can do. I can't do it right. I can't get it right. That is just the report of man. It is not the report of God. Praise the Lord. I have gone for an interview before. You know, when I got to the interview, I had never done anything heavy or bitumen before in my life. So I got to Canada. And I went for that interview. They were more qualified people. When I got into the interview, the two people that were sitting there, I had read up a lot of things. I read everything I could read. When I got there, the first two questions they asked me, I remember the things I've read. I was just pouring everything down. It was all theory, but the guys were nodding their head, oh, this guy is good. And at the end of the interview, we were just chatting and just talking about, okay, so when will you start the job? And we're just talking about just normal things. And that was it. There was a time, I think it was in the 90s, and this was the first encounter that I had that made me know that no matter how big you think your faith is, if you don't have a hope that God can do what he can do or what he will do, your faith is baseless. You know, I was looking for an internship and I went to one of the major oil companies. Somebody had referred me there. And for 3 months, I kept going. The man that was going there to see was the next man in line to the CEO. And for 3 months, either you believe me or you don't, I didn't go past the gate. despite the fact that we mentioned the name of the man at the gate. And on many of the occasions, I would sit down from 8 o'clock. I would resume with them as if I was going to work. Can you imagine? Just because I'm looking for an internship. I would resume with them at 8 o'clock. I would sit down at the gate. So they call that place a gatehouse. I would sit down at the gate. And when they are closing at 5 o'clock, we will all go together. Because once they call the secretary would tell me, oh, you know, the man is in this meeting, maybe at 3 o'clock or maybe at 5 o'clock. You know, the time kept moving. And at some point, I just gave up. I lost hope totally. And I just concluded that, you know what, this is not going to happen. And so one of the people that referred me, the man that actually referred me to this man, came by our house one night and told my mom, oh, I've spoken to him, because my mom complained to the man. And my mom and the man came by and said, well, I've spoken to him. I'm sorry for the mix-up. Tell your son to go back again. So my mom came to me and said, I said, no, forget it. After 3 months, I've been resuming 8 o'clock, closing 5 o'clock, I'm done. And my mom said, no, you have to go. I said, no. So that was a Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, one way or the other, God worked on me. And Monday morning, you know, normally I'll put on a suit, a tie. I just dressed in such a way that even when they see me at the gate, they will tell me to go back. So because I was just tired. So when I was leaving, you know, my shirt was flown out. And my mom said, is this the way you are going? I said, Mom, just let me go. You said I should go. Let me just go. It is with the tiniest hope that I have that I'm even pushing myself to go. I got to the gate that day. I didn't sit down for 5 minutes. They called my name. They said I should come up. I looked around. I said, is there somebody else that is bearing that name, or is it me? I went in. I got to the man's, to the secretary's office. And as the secretary was bringing all sort of newspapers, and I was telling myself, wow, that me, I'm this important. And I got in, saw the man. And this was a man that just a strike of his pen, you get whatever you want, or just with a phone call. So I got into his office, and he started saying, oh, this and that, oh, we're not hiring. And I kept telling myself, you see, I told my mom I shouldn't be here. And then for whatever reason, he had told me, okay, you know, I'll let you know when there is an opening. Then he said, okay, just wait a minute. He picked the phone and called. And because he cannot call and you tell him a no, so immediately picked the phone and I heard the conversation on the phone, my hope arose again. I know that something would happen. And the person on the other side of the phone said, send him to me. And that was how I started my internship. Praise the Lord. So I want us to know that no matter how much faith we want to apply, no matter how much we have walked with God, we need to keep our hope alive. And how do we keep our hope alive? Let's go to the book of Lamentations 3. I'll read from verse 21 to 23. How do we keep our hope alive? So if you have not heard anything today, please listen to this very carefully. It has worked for me so many times. Verse 21, 22, and 23, and I'll read. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Praise the Lord. The only thing that can sustain our hope is God's faithfulness. If you remember God's faithfulness, your hope should be rekindled. If you remember the things that he has done for you in the past, how he has not failed, how he has said he would do it, and he eventually did it, your hope should be rekindled. God promised Abraham, and for about 25 years, Abraham kept waiting. But there were so many other things along the line that God had done. And because of those other things that God did, Abraham was able to hope against hope. When all logic had told him, the things he's seen in the natural have said that this is not possible. It cannot work. But because of God's faithfulness, he kept hoping against hope. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you, if Abraham had gone to a doctor, you know, no offense to the medical doctors in the house, they would have told him, this is not possible. Praise the Lord. They would have given him a report that don't waste your time anymore. This cannot be done. That is the doctor's report. But I want to tell you that what the doctors have just said is simply where their knowledge ends. The report they have given you is where their knowledge ends. It's that simple. You know, I remember the presiding bishop of this mission. There was a story he said, the first time he went for a conference, he was going to present on, there was a paper he had written on in mathematics, and he felt really big that, you know, this is one of the groundbreaking things that has been done in mathematics as at that time. And when he got into the conference, the opening session, the man that gave the opening speech, you know, was a professor maybe of 40 years. And the man said he was going to talk about the mathematics of the rain. And his bubble just burst. That mathematics of the what? And I'm still, so he's even talking about some abstract things that you can never even imagine. You can imagine in the 70s. So when people tell you something is not possible, it is the limit of their knowledge and their power. Simple. But because you have a God that is limitless in power, intrinsically he is powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do. He created the world out of nothing. He didn't need a raw material. He didn't need to go to school. He didn't need anybody to supply him with anything. So that means what God says overrides and supersedes, and it is more than what any other professional has told you. Praise the Lord. I want us to rise up on our feet this morning. If you know that there is a future for you and you have a hope, rise up on your feet this morning, and I want you to cry to him and say, Lord, I come before you. Lord, I acknowledge your faithfulness. Lord, wherever I have lost hope, let my hope be rekindled. Wherever I have lost hope, let my hope be rekindled. In the name of Jesus, let my hope be rekindled. Let my hope be rekindled. Let my future not be extinguished. Let my hope be rekindled. Lift up your voices. Let my hope be rekindled. No matter what I'm struggling with, may it be exams, may it be jobs, may it be settling down in this country, Lord, let my hope be rekindled, because I know that there is a hope for me. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. So no matter how bad it looks now, it is not your end. Your end is going to be better. Lift up your voices and tell him there is a hope for me. Lord, rekindle my hope in the name of Jesus. Rekindle my hope. Lord, rekindle my hope in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want us to hold one person. Just hold someone. And according to the law of harvest, I want you to pray for the person that you are holding. I want you to lift up your voice and say, Lord, even as I put my hope in you, let my faith bring forth a good report. Lift up your voices and pray. Pray this morning, let my faith bring up a good report. Your faith is going to act on the hope that you have, because you have not lost hope. You still have a faith that God can do it. Let my faith bring forth a good report. Let there be answers in my situation. Let there be a turnaround for me. At this moment, let the seasons of my life change in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Our Most High Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, everyone that is here present, Lord, that they are at the point where they are losing hope. Lord, let their hope be rekindled in the name of Jesus. Lord, let there be a light shining even in their tunnels in the name of Jesus. Lord, let it grow brighter and brighter in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, let none of us get to the point where we will give up on you and give up on everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we come against every spirit and every powers that brings hopelessness to the hearts of people. They will not have dominion over any one of us in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and we honor you. We give you all the glory and praise. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Praise Master Jesus. Please, can we just quickly pray for the minister that has just given us the word, that God will envision him, God will keep him, that he will experience hope rising in his life, that his life will be a source of blessings to others, that when next he comes to minister, he will minister on a greater unction, he will minister with a greater anointing, that God will keep him, he will finish strong in life, in destiny, and all he does, in Jesus' name.